Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Take your seats. You'll probably be getting up again in a second, but at least for a moment I can see you. Praise the Lord. Let's worship Him, amen, and thank Him for that amen. Which He has done for us.
Oh,
Well, praise God. You guys can sit down, and gals too. You know, those songs are simple songs, but I hope you hear the words and take them to heart. You know, God is beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth. And I just say these things to you because, you know, I don't want you to miss a thing. In those songs, I remember when I was going to take the bar exam after not studying for it, but rather studying the Word, and I was asking the Lord to bring back to remembrance that which I needed. And the way down there, what did I find myself doing? I was just praising the Lord and singing all the songs. And it's amazing, you know, I was talking about in battle and how the songs prepare you. They encourage you and enable you to go forward. And they're easy to remember, a lot of important principles. So don't take these things lightly. Richard has been speaking the last couple of nights about how God established his authority. We read this morning in John 17 how he established the 11 and then said he prayed not only for them but also for them who would believe on him through their word. Okay. I want to take you over to Ephesians chapter 2 for a minute. And I'm going to just skip around a little bit here in 2. I'm going to start you at the beginning, and then take you down a little closer to the end of chapter 2. So I just want to put it in context. And Paul writes, he says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." You hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. So it wasn't because of anything great about us, right? He quickened us when we were already dead. That's why we needed to be quickened. "Wherein time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, which is Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." So that's what we're born into. That's how we all walk. "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Now there's a number of important things here, but obviously one thing right off is don't forget who you are and where you come from. You know, when you start thinking you're somehow better than other people, how can you minister to them then? How can you have compassion on them? How can you love them? All right? Here he's showing that, and when he's saying this, the "you" here, if you remember, are you Ephesians, you know, the faithful in Christ Jesus and the church in Ephesus. And speaking of himself when he says, "among whom also we all had our conversation," now he's including even the elect seed of God. Now, if our ways were so different from God's, how are we ever going to learn his ways? You have to be taught. And that comes down to, not only for these, but also for all them that believe on me through their word. They learned it from Jesus, and then you have to learn it from them. Now, I want you to skip down, and I'll start on verse 13. Well, actually, you know what? Let me just take you down through. I'm not going to focus on each of these verses, but it's useful. So he says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." In Christ Jesus. Sit in heavenly places where you can draw down on every good thing of the kingdom of God and employ it in your life and minister it unto others. "That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." Anybody going to argue with God's kindness to us? "For by grace are ye saved through faith, And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So I guess that leaves us out of having credit anywhere. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now this is referring to here, he's talking about those predestinated seed that he was talking about over there in chapter 1. But I want you to understand that if you will believe on Christ Jesus through their word, then you get to be a part of his plan too. See, a part of his plan is when somebody of faith preaches the gospel and lays hands on somebody to be recovered, you know what happens? They're recovered. It's a law. It's a law. It's a law that cannot fail. Think of that for a moment. Just like there's a law of gravity, just like the laws that cause our earth to go around the sun and the earth to spin on its axis and the moon to rise and all the different things we see every single day that are laws as God has established them. So his word is a law. And so when we come into agreement with his word and go forward and do it, he has to honor it. So he goes on, wherefore remember that ye, see the we here in verse 10 again was he and the other predestinated seed of God. But verse 12, he's talking to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He says, wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. In other words, the Jews call the Gentiles uncircumcision, because it was the circumcision that distinguished them naturally. That at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's how every single person is until somebody brings them the word of God in the form of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There were many people who came to know the Lord during the Old Testament who were not Jews. Many. I mean, in the time of Esther, we read about revivals that took place from India to Ethiopia. When I was in Jerusalem before I was a Christian with a woman from India, they asked her, did you come in through the gate that all the Indian Jews come in through? And both of us were like, there are Indian Jews? Didn't know that. But from the time of Esther, even before Christ came, there were people in India who knew the truth. And in Ethiopia who knew the truth. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. See, there's no division. Jew, Gentile, all by the same blood, Jesus made the way for us to become part of his household, his brother. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, being the brother to Jesus? What's that? Right. Well, no, yeah, you're thinking of it from that standpoint. I'm thinking of it from the standpoint of me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, when you get adopted into a household, and as an attorney, I deal with this sometimes, when you get adopted into a household, you know what? You are every bit the child as the natural child. Every bit. Doesn't matter where you came from. Doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter. When that person says, okay, I agree to adopt this person, you're theirs. They can't get rid of you now. They can't. They're legally obligated. And when we receive that gospel of Jesus Christ, when we receive it, we become, when we're born again, a member of the household of God. And when we receive that water baptism and that baptism of the Spirit, we now are able to enter into fellowship and walk in the inheritance that we have as a child of God. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Now, I want to get down to this verse. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. What's that? Being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone? You mean there's more to that foundation than Jesus Christ alone? It doesn't say the evangelists. It doesn't say the pastors. It doesn't say the teachers. It doesn't say the non-commissioned officers. It says the apostles and prophets. Remember with the whole thing with Peter? He called him Petros or whatever I think it was. Jesus gave him that new name, which means a stone, not a rock. That's because Peter is part of that foundation. If you want to be on the rock, you can't reject the word of the apostle and prophet. Jehoshaphat, a king, and we'll turn there in a minute. It's 2 Chronicles 20:20. Actually, I'll turn to you real quick. I'll read you a little thing. Remember we were saying beautiful for situation here a minute ago? I'll tell you a situation in which he showed himself beautiful. My pages are sticking together a little bit here. All right. Now, just to set the stage, I'm going to get to verse 20. But the stage is Israel's under attack, and they have no way to defend themselves. And they're not being under attack by one nation, but I think it's four. But whatever it was a number of them, and they were greatly outnumbered. And let's go back to verse 13. And this is where Jehoshaphat's been praying in the temple. And it says, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, meaning he was one of the music ministers, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. And ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Now, why would you worship the Lord at this point in time? Nothing's happened. All that's happened is some guy who we get a lot of his lineage, stands up and says this prophecy. He's just a Levite. The reason why you bow down and worship the Lord is because they believed him. They believed him. Nothing had changed yet, but they believed him. And watch what happens here with Jehoshaphat. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And let's just see the end of this. "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, 'Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever.'" Now, if they were thinking pretty mightily about themselves, would they be singing a song about his mercy endureth forever? You're singing his mercy endureth forever because you know you don't deserve what is about to happen. You don't deserve what it is that's coming. So much for my worth, as we've chatted about a lot here. You see that? His mercy endureth forever. "And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end to the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil, it was so much. And on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Berachah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the valley of Berachah unto this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about." That not an awesome story, man? That's an awesome story. And if you knew what began with Jehoshaphat, you'd understand how awesome it really was. Because he was around at the same time of Ahab, who was married to Jezebel, probably the most infamous couple in biblical history. And he had joined himself unto them, and yet he found a place of repentance before the Lord. And this was the final act of the manifestation of God's grace and mercy and love upon Jehoshaphat. But would any of that have happened had they not believed the word of the prophet? You follow what I'm saying? And look how he blessed them exceeding abundantly above all that they could ask or think. I mean, they were just happy to be delivered. But they not only got delivered, but they got all these riches, and all the other nations were afraid of them. If you read a little farther down, you find how even the Philistines came to them bearing gifts. "Please accept us." Can you imagine the Palestinians coming to the Jews? "We apologize. Please accept us." It's basically what was happening. But that key of receiving, if your life is going to be built on that rock, you have to receive the word of the Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, which sets, you know, which way the building's going to go, right? This way and that way. And then the apostles and prophets, you build on that. And the end of this, watch it in Ephesians 2, going back to verse 21. I'll start with 20. "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. See, you want God, you want to be a habitation of God through the Spirit. You can't do it if you don't receive the word of the apostles and prophets of God. You can't get it. You can't get both. You can't go, well, that's just a man. Jehoshaphat, he was the king. Did he go, wait a second, God didn't speak to me. Reject this guy. He's a jerk. I'm the one over here praying. No. He prayed. He recognized that the one who stood up and spoke had the Spirit of God and was the answer to his prayers. Was giving the answer to his prayers. And all Israel stood with him. Imagine if we in this congregation right here. I mean, I love Richard. I know him. I've known him for a long time and everything. And I know each of you. And I love you guys. But I also can tell you I've watched over the years so many people pull back and reject and not accept. Imagine what we could accomplish as a congregation if we just did this. There's nothing. There's nothing we couldn't accomplish. Nothing. And it's through that process, which is called discipleship, by which we learn the ways of God. Learn to walk in His ways. God, take that seriously. You got to take that seriously. You heard Gail testify the other day. Gail's been a member of this fellowship, what, about 13, 14 years? Might be. Well, yeah, you did kind of come in, but you kind of were receptive long before the dingbat over there received. He was very funny when he received. Praise God. When he received, he received. So don't hear me wrong. I don't mean to take anything away from what happened. But Gail spent 3 years in a pout. I mean, Gail's stubborn, man. That woman is stubborn. I mean, it's hard to be 3 years in a pout. She managed to achieve it, but did you not hear when she came under discipleship? There was a couple years ago, we had a meeting. Remember me rebuking you over there? I rebuked you more than once, as I recall. You broke down in tears as I'm rebuking you to your face. She didn't like me very much at the moment. But what came out of that meeting, if you recall, is you came under discipleship to Robin. Now, what you may not recall is that not too long before that, a few years back, I'd been telling Robin she needed a head. And I said, look, you need to speak with Davey because you need a head. This is my big sis. And she spoke with Davey, and Davey said, Steve's your head. Really? And I've sat back and watched as Robin has just been like unleashed. Oh, my God. I mean, I sit back and marvel sometimes and watch what the Lord has done with her. So she had the same thing happen. And then she shared it with you, and she's sharing it with some of the rest of you. I know. Anne, who I've known for a long, long time, and the like. The beauty of this fellowship right now is we have some elder ladies, Old Hair on Tower being one of them. I got to tell her that because that's a joke between she and me. But Sue, and I know my wife is discipling under Anne. Praise God, and I know that it has been a blessing to my wife. Tristan, you asked to be discipling under Scott. We said, okay, we're going to go through that with you here before too long. Scott discipled under me, and now that he's out here, he's discipling under Davey. All right, praise God. Scott is a person who can teach you many things. If you will submit yourself unto the way God does it, there is nothing, nothing that you can't accomplish in the Lord. But it begins with with Jesus, the Word of God, those that He establishes, and those that He establishes, those that they establish. And the way he does it, remember, it's by the laying on of the hands of the apostles that the Holy Ghost is imparted, right? Philip over there in Samaria preached a mighty revival, but he couldn't impart unto them the Holy Ghost. So Peter, when he came down, he laid hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon the sorcerer saw it, he wanted to pay to have that authority. And Peter told him that let his money perish with him. See, the Lord does it this way so that you can't go around the line of authority that he has established. And in that, then you get to be a partaker of their anointing. Of their anointing. I don't have my own anointing. It was one of the reasons why when Davey called, I was out of there. But I don't got my own anointing. I know where my bread is buttered, if you will. I'm like, man, yes, sirree, no problem. I'm over there. You follow me? And so that was the situation. And I seek to stand in that continuously. I don't do it perfectly, but I seek to stand in that continuously. When you do these things, it does a couple things. First of all, you know what it does to you? Humbles you. Because you know what happens when your authority starts telling you things? You start looking at all the problems with your authority. Well, he doesn't know me. He doesn't understand. She doesn't get it. They don't know what it's like to be me. They don't have this. Or, you know, you just come up with the 16 million excuses for why you can't do what they're saying. Right, Jeff? You don't know what any of that's about. But there's somebody here who probably does. I just pick it on you, Jeff. You know. But that's how we are, right? We make all these excuses, and we start looking at them and finding all the faults with them. As though we somehow are perfect, right? And when you just go, you know what? I'm a freaking idiot. You know, it's an amazing thing when you realize you're an idiot, you don't know anything. All of a sudden, everybody else looks a lot better. But you can't think you're an idiot unless you're humble, right? But when you humble yourself that way, this is why God has the authority thing. It requires us to humble ourselves. Now, the beauty of a godly authority to you is the godly authority is actually looking out for your best interest. And even if he's not, there's a bigger chain up there by the name of Jesus who goes, rah, rah. What was that you said? What was that you did? All right. And when we have those authorities in the world, it's also there to humble us. But they don't love us. You got it? So I can tell you, if you want to go forward in the Lord, and you are not a disciple, but you want to be, well, don't leave here without becoming a disciple. Don't. Get under discipleship. And then learn. You know what learning means? It means you're not the one teaching. Every time you say, but this, you're teaching your discipler. But you don't understand. It's this. No, 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 no. That's not how it works. You learn. And then you take that which you learn and you go forward in it. And if you grow out of one discipler, the Lord will give you another. He doesn't want to hold you back, and nobody here wants to hold you back. I'm pleased that Scott's discipling under Davey. No better discipler as far as I'm concerned. So let's go forward. Let's go forward as a unit in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Praise the Lord. I'm not going to keep you long. I'm not as bad as I used to be. Amen? Some of you know I'd start preaching about 9, 10, 11 o'clock. I remember down in Maryland one time I started preaching on Ephesians. Yeah. I was going to do the whole book of Ephesians, yes, sir, in 1 week. Got on verse 1 after 4.5 hours. I went to verse 2. Never did get off of chapter 1. I'd like you to turn to chapter 9 of Matthew. Now, I want you to pick up on something here. I believe everybody in here is Christian. Everybody in here is a believer. Some believe more, some believe less, but everybody here is a believer. Is that right? Is that an amen? All right. That means you have a responsibility. Now, I don't know if it's going to be tonight or tomorrow night or when. I hope it's tonight. The Lord's going to come with his angels to bear gifts. And you receive that which you want. Be it healing, deliverance, whatever it may be. But I want you prepared to know what your part is in it. See, you have a part. It's not just a matter of coming up here and gimme, 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 gimme. You have to receive. And you have to receive without doubting. Now I want to show you, I'm going to read some scriptures here. Verse 18. While he had spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And the ruler came and said, Look, my daughter is dead. She's dead. But if you come and you lay your hand on her, she's going to be alive. What do we call that? Faith. He believed that if Jesus laid his hand on that girl, she would live. Let's read on. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Verse 20, And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. And she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. What's that called? It's called faith. But Jesus turned about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Now, who were these people that we're dealing with? They were Israelites. They were Jews. They were the believers of the day. Amen? They weren't the Gentiles. They were the believers of the day. You are the believers of today. They were the believers of that day. You are the believers of this day. And the requirements hasn't changed. They haven't changed. God didn't say, well, I want to make the Jews believe, but you don't have to. Now, I've found in praying for the sick, it's easy to pray for an unbeliever. Because when you pray for an unbeliever, you don't have to depend on their faith. Their faith doesn't come in the equation. It's all your faith. So when I pray for an unbeliever, I use my faith to show them God. When they are healed, now they have to make a choice. Amen? But you've already made your choice. You've already made a choice. You made a choice to believe. And if you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you believe his word, you are ready to receive. Isn't that simple? Let's read on. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. See, Jesus had a different way of looking at things. We see a dead person. He sees a sleeping person. Because you're not dead until you're cast into hell. That's dead. Amen? He sees a sleeping body. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid rose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. See, it was that ruler that believed. All the others didn't believe. But that ruler believed. And by believing, Jesus went, laid hands on the girl was raised. Verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into a house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightway charged them, saying, see that no man know it. There's just a few verses. I can go on and on and on and on and on, but Steve kept you long enough. I'm not going to keep you long. The one thing you forgot to say was in Matthew. No. Go teaching all nations whatsoever things I've commanded you. That's discipleship. But I want you to know, I want you to pray today. I want you to be prepared when the angel stirs the water. If you know what I'm talking about. Come prepared to receive. Come prepared to receive. Whether it's me laying the hands on you or Steve or whoever it may be. You're not looking at the man, you're looking at Jesus. The power comes from Jesus. Salvation comes from Jesus. Healing comes from Jesus. So you want to look at Jesus. Amen? That's all I got to say.
Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my needs, according to his riches in glory. He shall give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, folks, let's receive. Prepare to receive. Amen.